From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Judges as he brings the next portion of a message called The Great Ministry of Little Men. He takes as his text chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, a passage containing the account of two men, Tola and Jair, whose ministry is summed up very briefly. Yet in spite of their seeming insignificance, these men have important spiritual lessons for believers today. As Dr. Cairns is showing, smallness is not an obstacle to usefulness for God. For the lesson is, greatness in the work of God does not depend on the greatness of men, but on the greatness of our God. Tola was from the tribe of Issachar, whose name reflects the carrying of burdens. The Church of Jesus Christ is in desperate need of people who will help to bear the burden of the work. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Pardon and Forgiveness. The text is found in Psalm 103, verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He will chide sometimes, or he would not be a wise father for such poor, erring children as we are. His chiding is very painful to those who are true, because they feel how sadly they deserve it, and how wrong it is on their part to grieve him. We know what this chiding means, and we bow before the Lord, mourning that we should cause him to be angry with us. But what a comfort we find in these lines, not always will he chide. If we repent and turn to him with hearts broken for sin and broken from sin, he will smile upon us at once. It is no pleasure to him to turn a frowning face toward those whom he loves with all his heart. It is his joy that our joy should be full. Come, let us seek his face. There is no reason for despair, nor even for despondency. Let us love a chiding God. Before long we shall sing, Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Begone, ye dark forebodings, ye ravens of the soul. Come in, ye humble hopes and grateful memories, ye doves of the heart. He who pardoned us long ago as a judge will again forgive us as a father, and we shall rejoice in his sweet, unchanging love.
Sins are washed away.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
It is a cardinal doctrine of God's Word that the greatness of the work of God depends not upon the greatness of man, but upon the greatness of our God. We tend to look for great men. We study history, and I think that is a very scriptural thing to do. The Bible is forever reminding the people of God of their history. I have no time for people who isolate themselves in the bubble of this present moment and want to forget what is past and take no thought of what is to come in the work of God. This moment does not exist in isolation. The great theological term is that we are just part of a great continuum. I hope that sounds good to you. I'm not going to try and explain it. I leave that to the scholars. But it is a mark of weakness and apostasy ultimately. Not apostasy for every individual Christian, that would be too much to say. But ultimately it is a mark of apostasy in the church when a church isolates itself. You look at every cult. That cult suddenly, as it thinks, falls like a star from heaven onto earth. That cult has in itself all the truth, all the light, all the revelation of God. That cult is God's answer, and it has nothing to do with what went before. It suddenly appears in history, and it has no thought of anything preceding it. When any movement or any church starts talking like that, you know that you're dealing with something that is not of God. It's very simple. God tells us that we do have to go back to our history. He continually reminded the children of Israel of that. Now, when we look at our history, we look at great men. Now, there's a lot to be learned from great men. Don't misunderstand me here at all. I love to think, every October I prove this, I love to think of the period of the Protestant Reformation. Some people are ashamed of that. Archbishop of Canterbury, he's ashamed of it. The leading charismatic idiot in Britain, Church of England minister, he said that the... see an Englishman here, I'll tell you who he is. David Watson. He said that the Reformation was one of the greatest tragedies in English history, or in European history. I'm glad to say I have no such misconception, and I look on it as the greatest revival in the church since the day of Pentecost. But you know, people go back and they start studying Martin Luther. Do you realize that there are probably as many scholars studying Martin Luther as there are studying the New Testament? John Calvin and his works have given rise to an entire body of study in seminaries across the world, and Calvin's studies are constantly making, as they say, new progress. Actually, I doubt that very much, but they are supposedly making new progress. Men are isolating great men. And they're seeing the characteristics of great men. And they're noticing the power points in the lives of great men. Now, let me confess, Martin Luther was, in many ways, a typical German. Most lovable and most hateable. Martin Luther had the gift of speech such as few men have ever had. He was an artist, a musician, a preacher, a theologian. He was all those things. But listen, you could be an artist, you could be a musician, you could add theology, you could bring it all together, and you still wouldn't be a Martin Luther. You see, the point I'm making is this, that it is our wont to isolate great men and then simply seek to emulate certain principles in their lives and divorce ourselves from the thing that really matters, namely a mighty living experience of the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. What we need to be looking to today is a great God, a great Savior. This comes out when you visit around churches. I was saved in the Salvation Army. I'm a long way from Salvation Army theology, but I'll never cease to be grateful for the honest preaching of the Word of God that I heard as a child in the Salvation Army in the Citadel Corps in Belfast. I look back in those days with a lot of happy memories. I led on to blow a trombone there as a little boy. I was the best actor in the corps. There was about as much music in the stand in front of me as there was in me. But I enjoyed that. One thing that I remember, there was a lot wrong in that corps that I was too young then to know about. And if I'd been an adult, I would certainly have left because of those things. But I didn't know about them, hadn't the maturity even to think about them. But one thing I do remember is an old Corps Sergeant Major who lived and walked in the fear of God, and who stamped that fear of God largely upon that Salvation Army Corps. I remember a preacher, still remember his name to this day. I can't tell you what he preached, but I can tell you how he preached. In many ways, that's more important. And with zeal and with passion and with the love of Christ, he preached and he pleaded for Jesus Christ. Now, many of the doctrines that he preached, to be quite honest now, I have severe reservations about. Salvation Army doctrine for Christian living goes along, they have a period of self-denial, and then they emphasize greatly holiness. They emphasize ultimately what you would have to call perfection. They emphasize the work of the Spirit. I went to a Salvation Army meeting here in the United States just some years ago. And I was sickened with what I heard. All the preacher was up there, he was saying all the same words that Marcus Brown had preached years ago in Belfast. He was saying all the same words. He had still all the old salvationist phrases from William Booth and Commissioner Samuel Brengle and others like that. But there was nothing there. Nothing there. Just aping great men is not enough. Fundamentalism is falling into the same trap. You go around our fundamentalist churches today, you listen to WMUU. I don't mean to be unkind, for I wouldn't want these things really to change. But you hear the voice of Bob Jones Sr. dead. Is there anybody in fundamentalism carrying on that peculiar type of ministry today? You hear the voice of Oliver B. Green. Long dead. You hear the voice of Lester Roloff. Dead. These certainly were men of immense spiritual stature and spiritual ministry. Men who did something worthwhile for God. We are falling into the trap in fundamentalism today of merely admiring great men, but not living in a personal knowledge of their God. That's a tragedy. Smallness in itself, personal insignificance, is no excuse for idleness or for indeed unimportance in the work of God. For look, secondly, at their significance. Tola was from the tribe of Issachar. Now, if you turn back to Genesis 49 and then into Judges chapter 5, you'll find a little about the tribe of Issachar. Genesis 49, verse 14 and 15, we have the prophetic blessing of Jacob upon Issachar and his tribe. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Over in Judges chapter 5, we have in verse 15, the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak.
Now, let's put this together for a moment. This is a tribe that in the days of Deborah stood for God. That was no mean achievement. This is a tribe that had produced a man in Tola who was willing to assume a position of service and work for God. This was a tribe of men who were certainly not pansies or wimps or people who were afraid to take their stand. This was a tribe of men noted for their ability to bear the burden. Back in Genesis 49, we find that Issachar is a strong ass. He's the beast of burden. He's the one on whom you can depend. You can place the burden upon him. He'll couch down and he'll carry the burden on either side. Good characteristic. There's a lot to be said for the tribe of Issachar. Let me just say in passing that, by the way, is a supreme mark of every good church. Every good church should seek to be in this respect like the tribe of Issachar and be willing to bear the burden of the work of God. Be willing to make itself like the lowly ass and take that burden, bend its neck to the yoke of God and say, I will bear the burden of the work of God. And it is a church with such an attitude that will give birth to men like Tola. Just as the Issachar tribe produced a man who would assume the burden, so a church that has this attitude of submissiveness to the will and work of God will produce young people, young men, young women, who are willing to bear the burden for Christ. You see, and let's be very frank about this, in our churches today we find a lot of fault with the young people. Some people forget what it is to be young, but I'm not that far away from it, so I can still remember. I take my Geritol every day, and I can remember what it was to be young. Okay. When you were young, the older people were criticizing you. You weren't showing the spiritual development that you ought to show, and all the rest of it. Now, I'm not making excuses for young people not developing spiritually as they ought. What I am saying is, if this is not a praying church, don't expect our young people to be praying young people. If this is not a church that is willing to bow its neck to the will of God, don't throw up your hands in horror when our young people don't walk in the will of God. If this is not a church that is standing together in unity before the Lord to say, Lord, we have the burden of your work upon us. We are cut free from the world. We're hanging loose to the things of the world. And we're giving all we are and all we have to Christ. If that's not the kind of a church it is, then we're not going to produce young people of that kind.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.